Sarah Talk is made possible by our patrons. Support from our listeners keeps us growing, improving the production quality and allowing us to expand our audience reach and continue to bring you great guest interviews and content. Visit patreon.com/Sarah Talk to join us on our journey and make a contribution on a per episode basis. Any contributions will help us reach our goals. That's patreon.com/Sarah Talk.
Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. This is a pro-LGBT show. I am a transgender female. I'm transitioning from male to female. I'm going to tell you a little bit about some updates in my story. But first, welcome back to the studio, David Torres.
Hello, everyone.
Yesterday, I went to our HR department at work to have the conversation.
How did it go?
It went really well. I was super nervous, but I think it helped that I didn't know these. Like, I don't know these people real well. We're a very small organization, and so everyone has these little tight cliques, and they all know each other. But because we're off in this little annex that, we don't go down to the main building very often. So, yeah, I know who these people are, but I don't see them every day. So, I think it was a little easier because of that. So basically, the conversation was, we're getting to the point here where I am going through some changes that are becoming noticeable to the point where people who don't know me well would be able to look at me and say, something's different. Something's changing. Something's going on. And so it's at that point that I kind of feel the need to come in and tell you guys what's going on. And so we can make a plan going forward. So they had never gone through this process before, and I'm not surprised. Again, very small organization.
Right,
so
yeah.
It'll be interesting where it goes from here, because now we're kind of figuring it out together how to do it, because I certainly haven't ever done this before, right? I shouldn't have to be the one to teach a human resources department how to do their job.
Right. You think they probably should have taken training on
right
in anticipation for something like this.
Right. And so now that they haven't, probably, then now is a good time to right. go and do that. So we talked about, obviously, the next step is to have a meeting with my leaders.
Right. To be honest with you, I think that your team, your management team,
yes.
is going to be okay with it. They're going to be awesome about it, everything like that. I think the problem that you're going to have, some people might not understand.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say. Isn't
right.
it? But
some of the folks out there are on the front lines.
The front lines, and, a lot of them are very religious.
Right.
Some of them even, pull their Bible out during lunch.
Right.
Yeah. Which scares me a little bit.
Just a little. So we left off with, we need to make a plan. The plan, obviously, is first to talk to my direct leaders. And then I've got a lot of resources that, I can send your way. The Equality Florida has a transgender spokesperson, basically, and they do a lot of this going out to businesses and teaching the gingerbread man. I don't know if you've seen that graphic, but they just teach, this is what, a transgender person is. This is what they're going through. This is what the law says. This is what you as a business owner, operator, should do.
And they are showing this. They're demonstrating how this happens with a gingerbread man cooking.
Yeah. Now I have to hang on.
Like, do they do it at schools and then the kids get to decorate and then they...
No. It's just an infographic.
Oh.
So it explains that your gender identity is in your brain. Who you're attracted to is your heart. Your sex is the physical characteristics. And then the expression of your gender is the outward...
The frosting.
Frosting.
Yeah.
Right.
The
And then each of those are on a spectrum. So, it explains the difference between masculine on one end to feminine on the other, and the median is agender, neither male nor female.
Right.
So, it goes through gender identity, gender expression, biological sex, and attraction.
That's cool.
And
it
kind of helps to separate out the misinformation, misunderstanding about that this has anything to do with who you're attracted to. So if I've come out to someone, a lot of times they'll go, but you have a wife. Yep. That makes me a lesbian. There are lesbians in the world. That's
right.
a thing.
Yeah.
But people just can't because we've so ingrained in our society that it's man and woman,
right,
that they assume if I am transitioning to be a female that I would, of course, want to be with males. So that's the gingerbread person for you.
Cool.
I called it the gingerbread man. I've deeply offended the gender continuum by calling it the gingerbread man because it's the gingerbread person.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, I walked out of this meeting feeling very good at the direction we're going here. And one of the things I brought up, and I've talked about this on the show, is that coming in, I left an organization that is very open and accepting and has gender identity written into their protections, whereas this employer does not. And so I mentioned that, and she furiously scribbled on her pad. So maybe we'll change that down the road. But in discrimination and hiring, our business, our company, only covers the classes of, you know, race, religion, creed, national origin, everything up to but not including sexual orientation and gender identity.
But do you believe that because they're so closely affiliated with their parent company?
I think so.
That they're going to follow suit?
Well, and she even said that, you know, that's who they were going to reach out to for,
right,
for guidance. Even though this manager didn't have hands-on experience with it, that person knew other people who they could reach out to and say, hey, how do you guys do it over there at the Big Mouse?
That's excellent, because I don't think you should worry then. I don't think you should have many worries.
I'm going to throw some resources your way, but I will expect that you'll educate yourselves and take it from there. Now, the next step is, okay, my leaders know. Now it's time to tell the team. And again, like you said, my immediate peer group team, I don't think is going to be any problem. So then it's to your team. I suggested maybe this is something that you reach out to the HR counterpart, because you don't work directly for the organization that I work for. You work for like a contractor. So we would have to partner together. Do we want to do this at your monthly meeting where we have everybody in the room together and present, do the gingerbread person, do whatever training that they do, but basically that you cover, this is what's going on. This is the expectation, right? So as of this date, female name, female pronouns, this is what the expectation is going to be. And that if there's any report of discrimination or harassment or whatever, this is how we're going to handle it.
Right. Yeah. So I think that would be a good idea to maybe one of the monthly meetings.
Yep.
Introduce it then.
Yep. And they can either do it with or without me. That's an option that we have. I can come and say, hey, let me tell you my story. Or I can kind of hands off and be like, let this be a maybe more serious kind of legal, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you would come in, I think that would be better. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's however they want to handle it. But.
Right. And I'm pretty comfortable talking to people about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some people on both of our teams that I've talked to about it. You learn quickly who you're going to get a positive reaction from and who's going to be tolerant.
On my team as well?
Yes, on your team as well.
Really?
Yeah. She did ask kind of what's the timeline, and I said, well, I don't really do the timeline thing. Like, this whole process so far, I've never really had a timeline. Even when I went to the doctor for our hormones, that was one of her first questions was, is there like a checklist of things that you want to do? Because a lot of people do. They want, you know, I want to start hormones, and by this date, I want to be presenting in public as this person. And then by this date, I need to have my legal identifications changed. And then by this date, I want to have this surgery, and I want to have that surgery. And I'm not that at all. I'm just like taking every day as it comes, because that's what I do.
Right.
So she wanted to know if I had a timeline on it, and I don't really. So
are you thinking more of maybe a timeline?
30, 60 days, something like that. And really what kind of sparked this whole thing was I just started progesterone. As we've talked before, progesterone will greatly increase the breast development, I hope. That has a lot to do with genetics. And in my family, I've got like a 50-50, you know.
Well, you wouldn't consider like getting implants?
Yeah, I would, sure. But so that is very likely to start happening now. And then I'm growing my hair out, and my hair is growing past the point of our 1950s appearance guidelines.
Right.
Right.
You could either
clean cut, no hair on your ears, no hair on your collar.
Very Aryan.
That was the other thing I had that was kind of sparking the timing of this conversation, because we're to the point now where somebody's going to say, hey, son, you need to cut your hair. And I'm going to be like, well, actually, that's not going to be a thing. And here's why. So I need to have HR on my side. All right. So let's move into some news that's going on. We're going to talk about Matt Staver. And Matt Staver is from the Liberty Council. And this is kind of an old news is new news. But about a year ago, Matt Staver spoke out against the Boy Scouts. And he's released a statement now urging churches to cut their ties with the Boy Scouts of America, claiming that the group's acceptance of gay members jeopardizes the safety of their young boys. This is from the Right Wing Watch. He represented Kentucky clerk Kim Davis in her quest to not give marriage licenses to gay couples. Now he's back again speaking out against the Boy Scouts.
Well, you know, the Boy Scouts says, well, you know, we're going to accommodate you people out there that have these religious beliefs, and we'll allow you to opt out. So you can still exclude Scout leaders if you want to.
That only churches, though. Only churches, though.
Yeah, only churches. But then the Human Rights Campaign says, well, that's discriminatory. You need to not even have that exemption for churches. Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, if you're a scout, you're promoting an organization that promotes this kind of immorality. So churches ought to just simply abandon this, because the Boy Scouts have abandoned you. They've abandoned the churches. They've abandoned the community that made the Scouts.
So, you know, they're trying to make the argument that the Scouts have turned their back on the church. And the where that comes from is the Boy Scouts, local troops in a lot of the country, particularly in the Midwest, those organizations are funded and organized through local church organizations.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you, because what other reason
would there be?
I, to be honest with you, I wouldn't want the Boy Scouts affiliated with any church.
And there's an archive, by the way, that the Los Angeles Times has that lists a lot of the different kinds of sexual molestations that have happened within the Scouts. Now, this is with the policy that they previously had. Now allow homosexual young boys in the Scouts, and allow homosexual leaders in the Scouts. And what are you going to have? You're going to have all kinds of sexual molestation. This is a playground for pedophiles to go and have all these boys as objects of their lust. This is insane, and we need to literally abandon the Scouts, because the Scouts, unfortunately, have abandoned us.
The article he's talked, first of all, this audio is from about a year ago, right? So this is why the old news is new again. The article, the archive they're talking about from the LA Times is, there was an 8-page article that I printed out that basically goes back through 1,200 files dating from 1970 to 1991, which found more than 125 cases across the country in which men allegedly continued to molest Scouts after the organization was first presented with the allegations of those abusive behaviors. The important thing to note, I think, when you look at this story is, this is from 1970. How long did the Boy Scouts exist before openly allowing open gay people to join its ranks? And yet this was going on. So if your argument is that by allowing gay people into the Boy Scouts, you're going to have children be molested, then explain that it's 70s through the 90s.
Right. Well, I mean, they're just trying to pull anything to condemn them now.
I would encourage you to go to Trail Life USA for the Scouts and for the alternative for the girls as well. You can look up Trail Life USA on the web. This issue of homosexuality is becoming insane, and it is the culture battle of our time. Whether it's this Boy Scouts abdication of its role and changing of the policies, or so-called same-sex marriage, this is a time that our Judeo-Christian values are attacked, being challenged, and it's a time for you to stand up and be true to the Scriptures and be true to our Lord.
Okay, there's a couple of things going on here. Are Judeo-Christian values being attacked? Yes, because they're terrible fucking values. They are values that make every minority group a second-class citizen
Yep.
in our society. And yes, that needs to be attacked. If you...
Holy moly.
In 2003, John Jay College of Criminal Justice did a study called The Nature and Scope of Sexual Abuse of Minors by Catholic Priests and Deacons in the United States from 1950 to 2002. This study was sponsored by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. This report is at bishopaccountability.org. If you want to go look at it, I'll put a link up. The study showed that 4,392 priests had allegations of abuse, and again, 1950 to 2002. 10,667 victims made allegations, and the church paid, at the time the surveys were completed, $572.5 million in legal and treatment fees, as well as compensation to the victims.
Wow. So
don't tell me that allowing open homosexuals into the Boy Scouts is going to endanger your children. You know what endangers your children? Fucking religion.
Yeah.
And this isn't the only one. It isn't just Catholicism. The Jehovah's Witness organization right now is up to their neck in fire in, what is it, Australia, where they're going through all of these documents that have been released that... You want to come over here and talk about this? That all of this information is coming out about all of these sexual child molestations?
Were they hiding it?
Of course they were hiding. Are you kidding me? Let me tell you about the Jehovah's Witness organization. Here's how they handle allegations of abuse. If someone comes to me and says, Sister Sarah wouldn't be, because I'm female, I wouldn't be in a place of power in the church anyway, right. And it's just trans female, they wouldn't even allow me in the fucking door. But... Brother David touched me in the broom closet.
Can you do it in Australian?
So here's, I don't do Australian real well. I do British a little bit, but not Australian. It's going on. It's all right then. It's going on in the UK as well. Brother David touched me in the broom closet. And then they would go to you and say, David, this little brat told us that you touched him inappropriately in the broom closet, did you? And you would say, of course I fucking didn't touch the little boy in the broom closet. I would never touch a little boy in the broom closet. I'm a good, God-fearing person. And then according to the Bible, you have to have two or three witnesses to convict a man of a crime.
Right.
And so if no one else saw you diddle the little boy in the broom closet, meh.
That's terrible.
You're off the hook.
That's awful. There should be mandatory cameras
in every broom closet.
In every broom closet in UK and Australian churches. Right. By the way,
and it's happening here too, but the
British accent.
Fuck you. The organization in the States is just better at covering it up. It just hasn't come out yet.
Right.
And it will. All right. So the next one is Pastor James David Manning. Are you familiar with this guy?
No.
He is a pastor of a church in New York City. Get a rope.
I think I'm trying to think. His card in he my was, collection.
Of you, oh, tra- you don't have
trading
this guy?
Pastor cards.
Oh, we should make that.
We totally should make that. And on the back, write stats on.
Yes.
Like
how
stats,
awful they
how
are.
How awful they are, yeah. What they've done.
Okay, so here's James David Manning.
$1 million idea.
He is the pastor of the ATLA World Missionary Church. A-T-L-A-H stands for All the Land Anointed Holy, which is what this guy refers Harlem as. Harlem is all the land anointed holy.
Isn't that where the Judgment Day will happen? Megiddo will happen?
In Harlem.
In Harlem?
So this guy has a church, or he's about to not have a church. He owes about $1 million in taxes, unpaid bills, and debt. And so his church was supposed to be put up for auction, but that it just hasn't happened yet. And he is on record. This guy says all kinds of crazy shit. But he was on record as saying he will never sell his church unless... men give babies out their buttholes. This is his newest rant. And this is either going to be, because I didn't type it up. Normally what I do when I have audio is I type up what they say and I mark off where we're going to stop it and interject our thoughts. I couldn't find a place to stop. So this may just be 9 minutes of us laughing our asses off.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
I got a word from you. I got a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy. And I want you, preacher, to use this word of prophecy ever, whithersoever you go. That God is going to put a burning, God's going to put a cancer in the butthole. God's going to put a cancer in the butthole of every sodomite. Every sodomite's butthole, everyone that practices sodomy from the day of this message will get cancer in the butthole. Right there. It'll burn and burn and burn. You'll have to, the manufacturers will have to go into manufacturing chairs where people can stand up because they won't be able to sit down because of the burning in their butthole. Every sodomite. That way we'll know it's a sodomite because he can't sit down. He can't sit down. He's got a burning in his butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. He's got a flame. He's got to have special asbestos diapers. When God gets through with the sodomite, this is the word of the Lord. This is the prophecy of Almighty God. This is the Lord's word. This is the Lord's word. And pastor, if you are a sodomite, God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. You're going to need an asbestos diaper. You better go and praise to God and ask God to heal you before this word cools down. You better ask God to heal you, and then you'll tell God, I'm going to preach against every sodomite. I'm going to preach against the sodomite maker, Barack Hussein Obama, the son of Satan. I'm going to become a sodomite slayer, wow, like James David Manning up there in Harlem, New York City. I'm going to become a sodomite slayer. Otherwise, you're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. Preacher, you won't be able to sit down. You will not. You're going to have to make, they're going to have to make special asbestos diapers. If you thought that AIDS was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. Until you see the flaming butthole, and that way we'll know who is a sodomite undercover, because your butthole will be flaming and you'll need an asbestos diaper and you will not be able to sit down. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty.
Where did God say that?
And to every sodomite sympathizer, and to everyone who tries to come against the word of God, God will inflict you as well. Likewise, he'll afflict you and afflict your children. So preachers, either you get up, you said you're afraid of the faces of the people. You said you're scared they're going to walk out of the church. Well, God, didn't God call you to preach? Didn't God call you to say, declare that the wages of sin is death? The wages of sin is death. Didn't God declare you to say that? Didn't God declare you to say that the wages of sin is death? What are you now standing there letting people get by with sin? It's death. Get up. Preach God's word.
Death.
Otherwise, the consequence will not be pretty. The consequence of failure to preach God's word.
Flames,
the Lord sent me. I'm the Lord's servant. James David Manning. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the sodomite slayer. I'm the Lord's servant. I'm the Lord's servant. You heard me 8 years ago when I told you about Obama, the son of Satan, the son of a sack of white trash. You heard me 8 years ago. You ignored me.
Okay, let's stop it there.
Wow.
Obama is the son of Satan.
A sack of white trash? Is that what he said?
He was the son of a sack of white trash, I think.
A sack of white. Hey, buddy, you got a light? Yeah, I'm a sodomite. Let me just bend over.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, man.
All right, we're going to skip because it's just too long.
Wow.
There's a good part in here when he's talking about if you're an ally.
You're going to think you're going to be in the midst of the swamps of South Carolina and what they call the lightning bug. I don't know if you've ever seen a lightning bug when he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind.
Oh, my God. We're back.
Where you look, they light up the swamps.
You just sped the video up.
They light up the woods. They light up
4 minutes, and he's still, now he's comparing flaming buttholes to lightning bugs.
Yes. Alabama. They light it all up down in New Orleans. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
Be too many days now when Almighty God wishes to exalt the preaching that I've done, the James David Manning, that you're going to see on a Saturday night. All of a sudden, Harlem's going to be lit up with flames coming out of the butt of these faggots. Flames coming out, fire, flames shooting out of their behinds. You're going to see it. It's going to be a wonder to behold. You're going to see the power of God fall upon Harlem. Atla, what God said. Tell these faggots, either they get out of town or a flame of fire is going to come out their buttholes and they'll never be able to put it out. I'm the Lord, sir. This is God's New Jerusalem. God Almighty has put this land together, and anybody that sympathizes with it, anybody that goes along, anybody that sympathizes, anybody that supports.
Here we go. This is where he's talking about anyone who supports these evil sodomites with flames shooting out of their asshole.
will have a flame coming out of their butt. You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You're talking about being hot. Well, you sure not going to be hot. You're going to have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're going to need asbestos panties to stop that flame. I'm the Lord. I said, I'm the Lord. I'm James David Manning. Preachers, you better get up and preach. Mothers and fathers, you better get up and teach. You better say what thus saith the Lord, that this is wrong before God. It's wrong before Almighty God. The Lord has sent the word. God has sent the word. Ye shall be thusly afflicted. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Preach the word.
Oh, good.
Preach God's word.
Yeah.
Destroy the Sodomites. God will destroy you.
And you people wonder why I can't take religion seriously.
Right? Seriously.
Now, you could say that this guy is an extremist example, but he gets this shit from the book. It's the, now, flame shooting out your butthole, not necessarily, but does it
Are
talk
sure?
about, I'm pretty sure, but does it talk about sodomy as
a sin?
Yeah. Does it talk about sin? Does it talk about the punishment for sin? That's where all this shit comes from.
Right. And everything else he just makes up.
Absolutely.
Like flaming
vaginas.
Buttholes and cooches.
Panties made out of asbestos.
Flaming vaginas. I once saw that in a bar in Tijuana, actually.
It was a drink. Yeah.
Can I have a flaming sodomite, please? Ooh, that burns.
Oh, it's one of those drinks that they light the fish on the top.
They light it on fire. Yeah. They got one for the ladies, too, burning vagina. Wow.
Okay, so this James David Manning guy. A year ago, he made national headlines after claiming that Starbucks employees were blending the semen of sodomites into their lattes.
What?
The quote, what Starbucks was doing is they were taking specimens of male semen and they were putting it in the blends of their lattes.
To accomplish what?
To sell. They're using male semen and putting it into the blends of coffees that they sell. My suspicion is that they're getting their semen from sodomites. Semen flavors up the coffee and makes you think you're having a good time.
What the fuck is wrong with this?
Hey, I have a problem with this coffee. Sir, is it the semen? No, it's too cold.
What is he talking about? They weren't really doing that, were they?
No, of course not.
No,
I don't know. They sold a lot of coffee. Maybe.
Also, what does he know?
That's the magic secret ingredient.
Is sodomite semen?
The Lord told him. The Lord told me what semen tastes like.
After I tried some.
Let's move on. Let's get away from this crazy nut. On Good Morning America the other morning, Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz had a town hall. And there was a gay gentleman who posed a question to him.
All right, we have Todd Colloin here. He owns a pizza shop in New York City. He's undecided, but leaning towards Donald Trump. So what's your question for the senator?
Hi, I'm a lifelong Republican, and I've been married to my husband for 2 years now. And my question is, I've noticed a lot of religious freedom laws and somewhat institutionalized discrimination laws happening around the country. What would you as president do to protect me and my husband from that institutionalized discrimination?
Well, listen, when it comes to religious liberty is something that protects every one of us. It is the very First Amendment, the very first phrase protected in the first amendment of the Bill of Rights. And religious liberty, it applies to Christians, it applies to Jews, it applies to Muslims, it applies to atheists. And all of us, we want to live in a world where we don't have the government dictating our beliefs, dictating how we live. We have a right to live according to our faith, according to our conscience. And that freedom ultimately protects each and every one of us. And we shouldn't have the right to force others to knuckle under and give up their faith and give up their belief. And for me, I mean, I have spent my entire adult life fighting to defend religious liberty, fighting to defend the freedom of every one of us to seek out and worship God. And I think keeping government out of the way of your lives protects the freedom of every one of us.
Okay. He didn't answer the question.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. That's a perfect first point.
Yeah. He didn't answer the question. He only perpetuated his thought, and he confused the freedom of speech with the freedom of religion.
Amendment 1 says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Then it talks about freedom of speech in the press.
Right.
Yes, fine. It's the first point. But what they're saying is the government is not going to tell you which religion you have to believe.
Exactly. And that's why all of this bullshit doesn't make any sense, why they're fighting for this. It's like they're trying to push it into our government so that way people do. So now they don't have a choice. You can't fight it anymore. It's like, oh, no, well, we're protected by the government. You can't tell us not to worship or tell you what to do because of our beliefs.
So he didn't answer the question the first time. Then anchor Robin Roberts, who is also gay, decided to try again.
But when you talk about freedom, what he's referred to with his husband, a lot of people would say, doesn't everybody have the freedom to be treated equally? Don't we all have the freedom to be equal?
Yeah, of course we do. The First Amendment protects everyone equally. It protects our faith. It protects the faith of an Orthodox Jew to follow his or her faith without the government getting in the way and regulating kosher delis and restricting what can be served. It protects the freedom of all of us.
That still hasn't answered the question.
Right. Now, we're going to come back in a minute and talk a little bit more about this government's role in regulating and making laws and so forth when it comes to religion. More on that later. George Stephanopoulos, who I absolutely love, decides, all right, one last try. Can we please get an answer from this knucklehead?
You know, you supported a constitutional amendment that would have the effect of overturning the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. So what would that mean for couples like Todd and his husband who already are married?
Well, listen, I am a constitutionalist, and under the Constitution, marriage is a question for the states. That has been the case from the very beginning of this country, that it's been up to the states. And so if someone wants to change the marriage laws, I don't think it should be five unelected lawyers down in Washington dictating that. And even if you happen to agree with that particular decision, why would you want to hand over every important public policy issue to five unelected lawyers who aren't accountable to you, who don't work for you? Instead, if you want to change the marriage laws, convince your fellow citizens to change the laws. And by the way, it may end up that we've got 50 states, that the laws in one state may be different than another state. And we would expect that. We would expect the people of New York to adopt different laws, perhaps, than the people of California or Texas or Florida. And that's the great thing about a big, diverse country. Is that we can have different laws that respect different values.
Right. Let's continue to keep everybody separate.
Right. Listen, I agree. We shouldn't have to rely on five unelected judges to come up with what needs to be done in this country. But if the states had done the fucking right thing in the first place, it would never have gotten to that point. Now, on the topic of states' laws being different from one state to the next, I'll go with you on some things. In some cases, laws are different from state to state.
Right.
Absolutely. Would you argue then, using this religious liberty bullshit, and no one likes it when I make this correlation, but fine. So let's say that Alabama decides, you know what? We're going to start owning black people again. That's up to the states. That shouldn't be a Supreme Court decision. That shouldn't be a federal ruling. That should be left up to the states. So we're just going to start selling black people again.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's not the same thing. No, that's not the same thing. It is the same thing. You're talking about basic human rights.
When it comes to human rights, the entire country should be as a whole, not separated like this. And that's what he wants. He's like, oh, yeah, no, you can be gay in Florida, but you can't be gay in my state. Like,
right.
That's so stupid. So, don't vote for Cruz.
Yeah, right.
Is he still in the running?
He is still in the running. All right. So, anyway, that's Ted Cruz. So, now I want to move into an update on North Carolina. And I don't want to spend a whole other freaking episode talking about North Carolina.
Right.
But there have been some interesting developments. The tourism agency, the Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau, recently told the local media some information about the economic losses that they've sustained as a result of this House Bill 2. To catch you up, if you haven't been listening, the community of Charlotte, North Carolina, the city council signed into law a very progressive pro-LGBT ordinance that, amongst other things, allowed transgender people to use the restroom of their choice that fits their identity. The state legislature went, oh shit, we can't let that happen. Overnight, drafted a bill, pushed it through onto the governor's desk. He signed it. It's overturned not only that bill in Charlotte, but any other city level ordinance completely. We go back to that conversation about, well, this isn't for the federal government to decide. This is for the states to decide. Well, now here we are saying it's not for the local community to decide. It's for the state to decide. Well, which freaking way do you want it to go?
Yeah, exactly.
Losses have reached $3 million because of cancellations prompted by the protest of North Carolina's law. The biggest cancellation was $1.7 million from the Community Transportation Association of America. They plan to bring 1,000 people in June of 2018. The Washington, D.C. Association says it will hold the event in Baltimore instead. We talked last week about a lot of different groups that were canceling and bands that were canceling their performances. You know, we had Bruce Springsteen, but also Cyndi Lauper, Ringo Starr, Pearl Jam.
Wow.
There's been quite a few cancellations.
And some of them protesting where they still put the show on, but all of the proceeds went towards...
Right. I think Cyndi Lauper was one of them.
Right.
And then
Joel McHale.
Joel McHale, yeah. We talked about the comedian. Yep.
I'll dress up and nowhere to go. Walking the streets all alone. Another night to wish you could forget. Making yourself up as you go along. Who's gonna take you home tonight? Who's gonna take you home?
So that is the music of Laura Jane Grace. She is the front, the lead singer for the punk rock band Against Me. Laura Jane Grace came out in 2012 as transgender. The band was super supportive. And so she has decided that her May 15th concert will go on, but will be a form of protest. She did an interview with BuzzFeed News and said, "I'm going to create an event around the show as a form of protest to say that despite whatever stupid laws they enact, trans people are not going to be scared. They are not going to go away."
Cool.
She also said, "I think the real danger with House Bill 2 is that it creates a target on transgender people specifically. When you feel targeted as a trans person, the natural inclination is to go into hiding, but visibility is more important than ever. To go there and have the platform of a stage to stand on and speak your mind and represent yourself." However, she commented performers like Springsteen and Bryan Adams, who we haven't mentioned yet. Adams canceled his concert in Mississippi over its similarly anti-LGBT law. She commended them for being allies. Bryan Adams and Bruce Springsteen aren't transgender, she said. For them to say, "I think this bill is messed up and I'm not going to go here and be a part of that state," that seems like the effort of an ally, which is really commendable. But she said that transgender people who live in North Carolina don't have that option. They can't boycott the state. They live here. They pay taxes. They are prisoners to it. The singer said the band have opened up that concert in May to all LGBT organizations in the state to table the event. So to put out a table and hand out flyers and information to people who are not familiar with transgender issues. She also plans to call on everyone to use gender-neutral restrooms at the venues as an act of protest.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's
Which,
really
cool. I mean, you would expect to get kind of a protesty response from a punk group, right?
Yeah.
And she also mentioned, she said something about, and this is again, this is the BuzzFeed article. While Grace acknowledged that someone like Springsteen canceling his concert brought a lot of attention to the issue, she said, "No one would care if we canceled." Okay. So that's to say, one, that she's not like hugely well known as a Bruce Springsteen type.
Right.
But then two, oh, so the tranny woman canceled her show. Got rid of them.
So it was a smart move on her part to keep the show.
Certainly. Yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, it's a way to say, "Hey, listen, you're not going to chase us out of here. And we're here and you have to deal with that."
It's very punk rock.
It is very punk rock. The song that we played was True Trans Soul Rebel. Yeah, I'm dying to have Laura Jane Grace on the show. Like, that would be like the height of my career in podcasting, right?
Call her up.
I'm working on it. So that song was True Trans Soul Rebel. She has gone on recently to write a lot about her experiences as a transgender woman. And so a lot of her music is now reflecting that specifically. And so this one is, you know, it's a little more acoustic-y.
Is that a word?
Acoustic-y. I just make words up.
Okay.
She also had a show on, it was AOL, I think, that did it, called True Trans. And it just kind of documented both her journey and then other trans people that she's met along the way. So that's really good. Look that up on the internet. I'll put a link to it and check that out.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. Also, Google acoustic-y.
The next stop on our journey through North Carolina And this is going to bring back what we discussed earlier about the rights or responsibilities of the federal government versus the states to legislate things. Because I want you to understand where this guy is coming from. Pat McCrory, the governor from North Carolina, went on Meet the Press. And it didn't go quite as well as he had probably hoped. He probably walked away thinking, wow, that was great. I said everything I needed to say. But for the rest of us, I think we will see right through all of the bullshit. So this is all down with NBC News' Chuck Todd on Meet the Press.
And the governor of North Carolina joins me now. Governor McCrory, welcome to Meet the Press.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Since you signed the executive order that was intended to try, I think you were trying to ratchet back some of the controversy here, you still had more companies joining the boycott here. Bloomberg, Capital One, United Airlines, Williams-Sonoma. That's just on Friday. 160 companies have called for its repeal. You still have an NBA commissioner that is committing to keeping the All-Star Game in Charlotte. Any estimates that we have of lost revenue so far, we have come up with calculated, conservative calculations, $39.7 million, $186 million perhaps in revenue, and some have suggested billions in lost revenue. All of this now, do you have regrets signing this law?
I'm going to, as governor, as I did with mayor, I will always call out government overreach.
Okay, so what he just said was, no, I don't have regrets.
In this example, the city of Charlotte, where I was mayor for 14 years, did government overreach. And what your pre-clip didn't mention was it was the left that brought about the bathroom bill, not the right, in the city of Charlotte, like the city of Houston tried to do, and it was rejected by 61% of the vote. The city of Charlotte passed a bathroom ordinance mandate on every private sector employer in Charlotte, North Carolina, one of the largest, 15th to 16th largest cities in the United States of America. And I think that's government overreach. It's not government's business to tell the private sector what their bathroom, locker room, or shower practices should be.
The Houston ordinance that he's talking about was HERO. That happened, what, a year ago as we were just starting the show. Was one of the first things that we talked about in depth and covered. And basically what happened there was Houston came out with this equal rights ordinance that said everyone has to be treated fairly under the law in housing and employment and public accommodation. Well, public accommodation means toilets. Hold on. And so the religious right went on the hunt to attack trans people with this vicious advertising campaign that painted child molesters going into the bathrooms. And once that succeeded, once that plan of attack worked, then every right-wing religious group across the country decided that's how we win this thing. That's how we shut these bills down. That's how we keep these perverts in their place. And they've been copying and pasting it to every city and county and state along the way.
Not only the private business, but also the YMCA and other nonprofit organizations. And by the way, this is what 29 other states also do not have, these types of restroom, locker room, and bathroom policies.
So I thought, you know, you talked about overreach. Okay, you say Charlotte overreached.
Right.
How did the state of North Carolina, the state government, not overreach in just the same way? You mentioned Houston. Voters made that decision.
Right.
You could make a case. Voters made the decision in Charlotte. Charlotte rejected it, then elected two new members of the city council. This has been a long debate in the city of Charlotte. This is where they came down. You guys debated for like 10 seconds. Don't you regret the time of debate?
Actually, Charlotte's vote was a very little debate. They just had a lot of public speakers speaking for and against.
No, that night. But this has been months of a debate.
Real quick, Charlotte had originally turned it down, just like Houston has. And there hasn't been outrage. There wasn't outrage toward Charlotte when they turned it down initially. There was an outrage toward Houston, Texas when they... But I tell you what I've learned through this is we've got to have more dialogue and not threats.
So now you're saying we need more dialogue. Why didn't you have more dialogue before you snuck this sneaky bill in the middle of the fucking night?
Exactly. Yeah.
He's getting to that. We're going to keep listening, and he's going to tell you exactly why he didn't have any more dialogue and just stuffed this bill through.
You know, I was in Hamlet, North Carolina, a small town that could be in any town in the United States of America. I walked into a buffet restaurant, African-American buffet restaurant, and the people just welcomed me with open arms and said, thanks for protecting us. I got back in my car, and I got a call from someone in corporate America going, man, you got to change this. We're getting killed. Mm-hmm. And it showed me the disconnect we have between the corporate suites and Main Street on a very complex subject and a very personal subject regarding government policy of all things, which didn't exist before this group
brought
this up.
It's a very thoughtful thing for you to say about dialogue. Where was the dialogue? First of all, you didn't want a special session. Your legislature.
I didn't want a special session. But the legislature, to their defense, we had an April 1st deadline in which the Charlotte law was coming into effect. And they had to pass the law prior to.
You had said you weren't worried about that deadline.
I wasn't. The legislature, according to their lawyers, were because they were afraid once it became into effect, it would be harder to overturn. And we can have the debate a longer time. But
of course, it would have been harder to overturn because nobody would have wanted it.
Let's take a moment to appreciate what he just said. We had to push this thing through because we had a deadline. Because had this ordinance gone into effect, it would have been a lot harder for our lawyers to overturn it. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's really fucked up.
Again, I don't think government should be telling the private sector what their restroom and shower law should be to allow a man into a woman's restroom or shower facility at a YMCA, for example. However, in government, and I'm not going to tell the private sector, any manufacturing plant, any bank can have their own policies. NBC can have their own policy in Charlotte, North Carolina, or anywhere in North Carolina. But I do believe in our high schools, in our middle schools, in our universities, we should continue to have the tradition that we've been having in this country for years. And we have a women's facility and a men's facility. You know, it's worked out pretty well, and I don't think we need any further government interference.
It's worked out pretty well because people like me have been hiding for all of these decades, or who knows how long. Who knows how long people have felt this way and not been comfortable to come out because of asshats like you.
Right.
Sure, it's worked for all of these generations, but you know what worked for generations too? Coming back to it, fucking slavery.
Yep. Until it's changed. Until people stand together to oppose jerks like
this. The oppression of women. Yeah. Women's rights. Why did we give women the right to vote? It worked fine without them for centuries.
Yeah, this, as we talked about, this law went further than that. It wiped away the city of Charlotte's to do some things on their own. For instance, they can't even have their own minimum wage now. Why'd you do that? Why'd you sign that? You're a former mayor of Charlotte. Could you accept all these limitations that big state government has put on city and local control?
I made a point when I was mayor of Charlotte 14 years, we dealt with fire and police and airports and roads and light rail lines. We didn't impose new regulations on businesses. And I don't think the government ought to be the HR director for every business, whether it be in Charlotte or whether it be in Greensboro or whether it be in Boone, North Carolina. And this is that fine line between how much does government tell the private sector in a regulatory way what to do. And in this case, a city which I still proudly call home, I think overstepped. And you know, I've called out my own Republican legislature in the past with magistrates. And I said, no, the magistrates need to marry after the Supreme Court case, what the Supreme Court said.
But you didn't, you know, in your executive order, you didn't, and you're not calling for a passage of protecting gay North Carolinians from discrimination if they're fired in the private sector. Why?
Because I'm not the private sector's HR director.
Hold on. Let's go back. Do you have on your state books a law that protects black people from being fired just for being black? Of course you do. Do you have a law on your books that prevents women from being fired just because they're women? Do you have a law on your books that prevents a Christian from being fired just because they're Christian? Of course you do. This is basic civil fucking rights 101. How is this any different?
I am the HR director and the governor of all state employees, and I signed an executive order which protects all state employees in the ninth largest state in the United States of America, the same executive order that the Louisiana governor just signed and got praised for it. I just happen to be a Republican governor, and I got criticized for doing the same thing. So I have to say there are a little bit of politics involved.
But with all due respect, Barry Goldwater had said this when they were debating whether to have the Civil Rights Act and debating whether government should be involved in dealing with racial discrimination. Right. And he said, I am unalterably opposed to discrimination of any sort, but not law that embodies features like these provisions which fly in the face of the Constitution and which require for their effective execution the creation of a police state. The same argument was used to try to defeat laws that are now considered untouchable, right? Laws protects minorities from discrimination in the private sector. Why don't gays and lesbians qualify?
First of all, I don't know of any business right now in North Carolina, that, and very similar to what Nikki Haley said about South Carolina, that is doing this.
Answer the question.
Yeah, always dancing around the subject.
But at the same time, what we've got to do is deal with this extremely new social norm that has come to our nation in a very quick period of time and have these discussions about the complexity of equality while also balancing the concept of privacy, including even privacy in the most private of areas of our life, which is a restroom, locker room, or shower facility in our high schools.
But gender identity is the same privacy. It's the same issue,
well,
you know,
the
folks that are, you know, that they're looking for that same privacy. I mean, do you want somebody who identifies as a woman, born on their birth certificate as a man, may look like a woman, going into a men's bathroom?
All I can say is we have 27 states.
Is that fair to them?
We have,
once again, not answering the question.
We have 27 states, this is not just a North Carolina debate. Mm-hmm. This is a national debate that's just come on in literally the last 3 months. No one had heard of this debate until the Houston ordinance was defeated by the people of Houston.
Except that that's not true, because there are more than 200 laws across the nation right now that include and protect gender identity. It came up in Houston because Houston is a terrible fucking place to live. Houston's a terrible place.
Hey, I believe it.
We have 27 of 29 states that also don't have this type of mandate on private business, including the state of New York.
I'm curious about due diligence.
Sure.
Did you meet with any transgender people
before
you signed that law?
But I've met with transgender people in the
not really, but in the past, yeah, kind of, maybe.
Past, and I've met with them since and have had very positive conversations. Now, the conversation with a very powerful group called the Human Rights Council, my gosh, they're more powerful than the NRA, and they have millions of dollars, which makes me want to overturn United, because I don't know who their donors are either, but they are putting on a lot of pressure. Instead of having good dialogue, and I had wonderful dialogue with a transgender woman who is, and we talked about each other's issues. There's passion on each side of
all
this
right. issue. Does it bother you at all, though? South Carolina said it
didn't.
Does it bother you at all that basically North Carolina and Mississippi is the only other state
Let me correct you. Georgia and Mississippi was a religious freedom bill. This was not a religious freedom bill. In fact, we have not had any religious freedom bill introduced in the state of North Carolina. One reason is because I'm governor. So the confusion by the national media and the New York Times of Indiana religious freedom bill, Mississippi, and Georgia religious freedom bill, that's not the case. This was basically a restroom privacy issue versus equality. And these things need to be discussed, not threatened by Hollywood or anyone. You know, Hollywood, with all due respects to the Hollywood, the new Batman and Robin movie is playing in China,
okay,
which has anti-gay, terrible, terrible human rights violations. This is not like a issue of bathroom privacy or restroom privacy in North Carolina. And let's have this dialogue, and I welcome that dialogue.
All right, Governor McCrory, is there any way this gets repealed?
I don't think the restroom. I do believe
there is other parts of this bill.
There is one part of the bill that I did disagree with when I signed it, and that is not able to sue within state courts, and that needs to be repealed. It was very poorly thought out.
All right, we'll be watching for more, Governor McCrory.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Let's start with you signed a bill into law, knowing that there was a piece of it you didn't agree with.
Right.
And you did that.
I was thinking about
specifically
that.
Because you wanted the bathroom thing passed.
Right. It could have said anything else.
Right. Yep. It could have said, North Carolina is going to bomb South Carolina once a month for the next 10 years. But as long as we can keep the trannies out of the bathroom, I'll sign it.
This guy is such a scumbag politician. Just listening to him dance around
the Batman Robin movie in China. What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Who gives a shit about? Like, he's using anything to... And you're right. He probably left that conversation with a smug look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to high five, you know, his second in command, and they're going to get in their car and drive away and smoke their cigars.
Yep.
And visit the titty club.
Way to go, brah. Nailed it.
Nailed it. When hopefully the rest of the United States can listen to that and see through the veil of bullshit. Also, he says that it's just like a recent thing that just sprung up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an issue that's been going on for a really long time. And things like this, a surge of, it's called a civil rights movement.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
So, yeah, it's sudden to you because the people are fed up with it.
Right. And just like every other civil rights movement that there have been people like you in opposition.
Exactly.
And standing in the way of progress.
And there's one thing that, and you can fight progress all you want, but
these people don't want progress.
Nope.
They want to stay back in the dark ages with their Bibles.
It is the dark ages in the United States. I just feel like we're on the brink in this country of a renaissance. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that if we got together, we can just tip it over and it'll go. And then this country will change. I think to make America great again, I think we need more science. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, said it. He was like, we need to teach our children. If we want this country to be great again, the world is accelerating their technology, the things that are possible in places that, and the United States, I mean, if you guys would research some of the stuff that's going on outside of our walls, outside of this country, you'll know that places like Indonesia, places like Thailand, China, Japan, for God's sakes, has been doing it for years. There's crazy technology that's out there that's making those countries rich. You know,
we are last in education. And okay, fine. Standardized testing is bullshit, but
yes.
We are putting out year over year the dumbest population of people in the developed world.
Well, why would you want a knowledgeable?
And here's what's going to happen. If you want to make
It's easier to control dumb people.
It certainly is. If you want to make the argument to the right, the people who don't want progress and change, you make this argument. And I will openly admit right up front, this is a reaching bullshit argument. But there's some truth to it. It's some fear-mongering the way they fear-monger at us. And that is to say that if we do not start investing in our children's education in the sciences, specifically, other developing and developed countries will far surpass our military might.
Yeah.
And we will no longer be the most powerful nation in the world. There will be missiles from North Korea that can reach us and do terrible things. There will be advancements in technology in battle that we will not be able... We will be playing catch-up.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen. Now, again, that's a little reaching, fear-mongering argument.
It is.
But I'm fighting fire with fire.
And
out my butthole.
And you're igniting. You got to change those pants, though. They're catching fire quick. No, but not only...
I got on my asbestos panties.
Not only in military, but everything else, because we can be defeated in other ways. Mm. You know, it doesn't have to be just military.
Absolutely.
Might. It could be in a lot of different
get one hacker jump in on the power grid and shut our whole damn country down.
Our defenses could go down.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I urge you listeners to go out there and research how far the world is going and how stuck in the past we are and how I don't like that anymore. Because when I was a kid, movies like Back to the Future was my view of the future. And I said, wow, utopia.
Can't wait to be there.
Can't wait to be there. Yep. And what the fuck happened to that future?
So the last comment I have about McCrory and his Meet the Press interview, this is from the New Civil Rights Movement. Give me the author. David Badash wrote, another uncomfortable moment came when McCrory boasted that even though corporations are literally moving out of state, taking over 1,000 jobs out of the state, signing letters urging him to repeal House Bill 2, and entertainers like Bruce Springsteen, Ringo Starr, and Cirque du Soleil, we haven't talked about that yet, are boycotting North Carolina. A few folks at a local African-American buffet restaurant thanked him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something. It's just you survey when you want to get a general opinion about something, you survey a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And just because one...
And the other thing, I could tell you one story about one transgender person that I talked to, and we had a good discourse. We had a good dialogue.
Right. But how about the
good
rest
for
though?
You?
Like,
right.
What, how about the rest of the people?
All right. Let's move to Tennessee. Tennessee had a bill as well that we've been so stuck on freaking North Carolina that we haven't gotten into this. Tennessee had a bill that we believe is, it's dead for now, Representative Susan Lynn had introduced House Bill 2414 would have banned transgender students from accessing restrooms and locker rooms that best comply with their gender identity, mandating that students' gender be determined by their original birth certificate. She has now withdrawn her own bill, but said she's absolutely still like 100% in support of the idea, but she's going to roll the bill over until next year so we can work on those issues. Now, I don't know the makeup of the legislature there in Tennessee, but I'm wondering if she's not putting it off until she has some more Republican support for the bill. Again, I didn't really dig into it super deep, but this article also from the New Civil Rights Movement and also from David Badash. During the debate, lawmakers were told House Bill 2414 could cost the state Title IX funding. Now, Title IX is a federal code that says that you cannot discriminate against a student in activities and so forth on the basis of all of the other things that we don't discriminate on, right, including sex. Does not specifically call out gender identity, but it is race, religion, creed, national origin, sex. The keepers of Title IX came back and said that Title IX's definition, which includes sex, covers gender identity.
Good.
Okay. What that means is, and this is for schools that receive taxpayer funding.
Right.
Okay. If this bill were to go through, as we have seen others do, then the federal government could come down and say, oh, you're not complying with Title IX? Guess you don't get your thousands or millions of dollars that we were going to give you for your school. Follow the law. Okay. During the debate, lawmakers were told House Bill 2414 could cost the state Title IX funding, leading Republican Representative Rick Womack to exclaim, I don't care about Title IX. Representative Lynn told the committee during debate her bill would prevent bullying and protect students, which of course is the exact opposite of the truth.
Right.
Later, the Tennessee Attorney General told lawmakers the bill would indeed cause the loss of federal Title IX funding, which the Williams Institute put at about $1.2 billion annually. I was low. I said thousands, wow, millions. $1.2 billion annually that schools in that state receive from the government. Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam still must decide whether to sign or veto another bill targeting transgender people, House Bill 1840, which is a religious freedom bill. See, they always release these things in partnership. One is a religious freedom bill and the other one is a civil rights bill on the left.
One is always disguised as another.
So the religious freedom bill 1840 would allow any counselor or therapist to deny service to any LGBT person or anyone in general based on sincerely held principles. So that means my community, which has a 41% suicide attempt rate, would go to a counselor in this state, and that counselor could say, I'm a Christian. I don't really believe in transgender, whatever the fuck that statement even means. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to help you. Here's a person probably on the brink of suicide and you are turning them away. Yeah. Bet your God loves that. Almost finally. I got two things left. In Virginia, and this is one of those things that we first talked about back when I was doing a Rainbow Report weekly thing. Gavin Grimm is a transgender boy in Virginia who is suing the school for the right to use their boys' restroom using Title IX as the reasoning.
Good.
Yep. So the Fourth Circuit...
Joy of color.
The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals just ruled that federal civil rights laws include transgender people in cases involving education discrimination. 2-1 ruling is a Title IX case involving Gavin Grimm from Virginia. So the Department of Education's interpretation of the law resolves ambiguity by providing that in the case of a transgender individual using a sex-segregated facility, the individual's sex as male or female is to be generally determined by reference to the student's gender identity, Judge Henry Floyd wrote. So the words from on high from the law. This is the judge ruling in the Fourth Circuit. This is from Think Progress, Ian Millhiser. North Carolina is in the Fourth Circuit. So that might affect House Bill 2. So we're not out of the North Carolina bullshit yet. This could serve as precedent for the immediate repeal of House Bill 2.
That'd be great.
Yeah, let's watch for that.
I feel like North Carolina is like this sinkhole of bullshit. It just all falls. It filters in.
Chris Geidner at BuzzFeed notes that today the court did not, however, grant the preliminary injunction the student Gavin Grimm sought, instead sending the case back to the district court to reconsider his request. The appeals court also declined to reassign the case to another judge at this time. So basically, what I take from this is they said, this is what Title IX says. This is what Title IX is interpreted to mean. Please go away, back to the other court. They'll determine whether you get any damages or how this is going to resolve itself. Last fall, the Obama administration offered support for this transgender student by filing an amicus brief supporting his right to use the boys' restroom.
That's awesome. That's pretty excellent.
Yeah, you get President Obama on your side. Holy crap.
I know.
He's the son of Satan.
He's the son of Satan, born of a sack of white trash.
Because the Lord's always...
He's a flaming butthole sodomite.
Oh,
with the
God.
Pants are always smoking because there's a fire down below.
All right, the last thing I want to talk about this week. There has been a statement released on Target.com. Now, let's go back in time a little bit. Target has been super supportive of my community. They recently, this was what, around Christmas time, that they changed their toy aisles and kids' bedding departments so that it's no longer sorted by boy and girl. And this came up because, if this doesn't prove to you that the voice of the one has the power to change things, nothing will.
I didn't hear about this.
There was one mother who took a picture of an end cap at a Target store, and it had the sign like Lego building sets. It was building sets, and it was building sets, girls building sets. And she lost her fucking mind.
Rightly so.
Right?
Yeah.
Why aren't these just building sets? Can't both kids play with the Legos? Can the girls play with the pirate Legos and the boys play with the My Little Pony Lego or whatever the fuck they are?
Right.
Of course they can.
Yeah.
Right? So she posted this on social media. It went crazy viral. And Target was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. So they got rid of the pink and blue. They got rid of the segregated boy-girl toy and kids bedding. And so now it's just kids bedding.
That's cool.
And now it's just toys.
Yeah, that's so
right?
cool.
So this is, I'll just read it. This is the statement from Target's website. This was dated yesterday, April 19th. Recent debate around proposed laws in several states has reignited a national conversation around inclusivity. So earlier this week, we reiterated with our team members where Target stands and how our beliefs are brought to life in how we serve our guests. Inclusivity is a core belief at Target. It's something we celebrate. We stand for equality and equity and strive to make our guests and team members feel accepted, respected, and welcomed in our stores and workplaces every day. We believe that everyone, every team member, every guest, and every community deserves to be protected from discrimination and treated equally. Consistent with this belief, Target supports the Federal Equality Act, which provides protections to LGBT individuals and opposes action that enables discrimination. In our stores, we demonstrate our commitment to an inclusive experience in many ways. Most relevant for the conversations currently underway, we welcome transgender team members and guests to use the restroom or fitting room facility that corresponds with their gender identity. We regularly assess issues and consider many factors such as impact to our business, guests, and team members. Given the specific questions these legislative proposals raised about how we manage our fitting rooms and restrooms, we felt it was important to state our position. Everyone deserves to feel like they belong, and you'll always be accepted, respected, and welcomed at Target.
That's awesome. Who wrote that?
This is the press release from Target's website.
That's awesome.
This is the official statement of Target. This is their official position on the matter.
There isn't like an author? Like Frank Target wrote it?
Well, it's like anonymous. It's just Target.
You know what? It shouldn't even, right? It says, everyone deserves to feel like they belong, and you'll always be accepted, respected, and welcomed at the United States.
Oh, right. That's exactly what it should say.
Or at least North Carolina.
Basically, they've said, hey, North Carolina, fuck you. We're going to let transgender people be.
That's so cool.
And let me tell you, I stopped shopping at Walmart. Okay. There's a couple of things I have to say about Walmart. When I was a kid, Kmart was the shit.
Yeah.
That was the place to shop. It was clean. It had all the cool stuff. It was a place. And then Walmart came about. And Kmart became this ghetto, dirty trash hole. And Walmart was the place to shop.
Yep.
And for 10 years, I shopped at Walmart. And then I learned about the terrible practices of the owners of Walmart and the way that their employees are treated and paid. And I said, you know what? Fuck that. And kind of at the same time, Target came into being. And Target was like, look, we're Walmart, but we're classier.
Yep.
And so I started, fuck you, Walmart. I'm going to shop at Target. And this reinforces why we should be shopping at Target.
Yeah.
Spend your money with these people. Throw your money at them. As a transgender person who does not quite look the target gender that I am transitioning towards, it is hard as fuck for me to go into a store, into the women's department, pick out clothes, and take them somewhere to try them on.
Yeah.
It is stressful as hell to do that. And so, knowing that, the official position of Target is, come on, we'll take you as you are. Absolutely, I'll go shopping.
And there. Then defend you when you do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's really cool on their part. And I love Target. I'm a big fan of Target. I don't really shop at Walmart anymore. I just got tired of finding chicken bones hidden amongst the produce.
That's all the stuff I have to talk about this week. So, I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. First of all, if you want to join the conversation, you can comment on this particular episode at saratalk.com. You can listen to all of our episodes there as well. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm. If you listen to podcasts on a different platform, let us know and we'll put it on there. Definitely go to saratalk.com. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And also, be sure to check out our Patreon account as well. Patreon is a way that you can help out the show monetarily. We're not expecting that people are going to be like, oh, here's $1,000. But if you want to donate $1 per episode or $5 per episode, that's going to go a long way in helping us continue to do what we're doing. It takes time out of my weekend and my family life and the time that it takes to sit down and research all these stories and kind of prep the show and then record it and then sit down and edit and all of this stuff. And not only that, yesterday I had to go drop $100 on a new external hard drive because the one I was using to store all of our show data is starting to crap out. So,
right. And everything goes towards the show. Right. We're not asking money because we're building a rocket ship.
Well, if, however, you can't give, that's fine as well. Of course, we understand that. We're poor people. So, if you can't give, we would like you to at least give us a hand and share the website. Share these episodes, the ones you like, maybe. I don't know. Don't share the shitty ones, but share the good ones on social media.
Oh, no. Share them all.
Facebook, Twitter. Please share. And if you would, if you're listening on iTunes, go give us a rating on iTunes. That will help out a lot as well. And as far as getting noticed and getting some more people in to listen to the show. All right, I'm done begging for your money. We're going to leave the show today with some more of Pastor Manning and his fiery butthole. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
You ain't seen nothing yet, and there'll be people walking around all over America with flames coming out of their butthole. Every sodomite, everyone who takes it up the rear, everyone who has a penis injected in his butthole will have a flame. When that penis comes out, the flame will start burning, and there'll be no more sodomy, because ain't nobody gonna stick no penis in that flame. You ain't gonna stick a penis in that flame. That flame will be an eternal flame coming out of the butthole of every sodomite. Now, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? What you gonna be? I'm the Lord, sir. I'm the Lord, sir. I'm the Lord, sir. I'm the Lord, sir.